So, okay, so for the people that are listening on tape or online or whatever, we're talking about, you know, I'm just sharing the message that I got this week, waiting for my family to come back from Virginia, delayed at the airport, and was reading through Revelations. And like I said, I started kind of the back part of Revelation, just kind of dove into it, and Revelations 19, and it just really spoke to me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start at the beginning. And I'm one of those guys, I always want to just read right through. I'm like, okay, I don't want to get on any kind of rabbit trails. I don't want to, because I'll read a paragraph and then I'll spend a day, like I'll get stuck on something. But I really wanted to just read through the whole book just to get the big picture, look at it. And I made it to chapter 3, okay? So, and then I got stuck on actually chapter 2 into 3. So we're going to share a little bit this morning of, you know, just scriptures mainly, and just kind of what the Lord was speaking to me. But I'll tell you, it was sobering. It jolted me. It woke me up. You know, and there's some themes that you'll see in what we're going to read today. You know, but I wanted to start just with a reminder. It's December 2nd. You know, we're coming into Christmas. We're talking about Jesus being born the Messiah, and what an awesome, awesome time. You know, I was reading this morning Isaiah 9. I just flipped here. Y'all don't have to turn. I'm going to have a lot of scriptures that I'm going to read, but don't feel like you got to turn to it if you want to write them down or whatever. But Isaiah 9, 6 is the verse, you know, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So, you know, I wanted to start off with these scriptures because we're saved. Everybody in this room knows Jesus, right? So thank you, Jesus. And we're excited, and we don't ever, you know, there's that marriage time. You know, I was talking to Dave last night. I don't know if you guys know about these, but there's these, you can send off for these signs to be made that's latitude, longitude. And what it is, it's significant moments in your life, things that happened. You know, I've shared testimonies. I have some things. I can remember exactly where I was, you know, when the Lord really spoke to me the first time, like it was yesterday in College Station, Texas. I remember exactly where I was. But what you can do is send off, and they'll print this latitude, longitude. I don't know if y'all know about this, but it says like literally like 1.11 east, whatever the latitude, longitude number is on the map. It's got a compass and it's a piece of wood. You know, I was thinking, man, that's pretty cool. You could send off. I know exactly where I was at that time. I want to send off for that piece of wood and just put it as a memorial, as a time, as a, you know, something to remind you. You know, and throughout the Bible, there's different stories where they set up a memorial for something that happened. And it's a reminder of this time. You know, and I picture that time in College Station, Texas. You know, that was a powerful, necessary time. Right, it was the marriage, that was the wedding day, that was the time when I recognized Jesus as my Savior and said, Lord, thank you for saving me. I knew his love, and I knew so much at that time. I think back now, I feel like everything that was God and is God was implanted in me at that time. Okay, I did, you know, you have this understanding, right? So the point is, you know, I did want to share about this Messiah, this Savior that we're all talking about and singing about and excited about right now at this time of year. You know, we just read Isaiah 9. Let's look at Isaiah 52 real quick here. And again, y'all have to flip to these. I just want to kind of set a foundation. And Isaiah 52:13 starts off, behold, and this is just a prophecy that it's talking about in Isaiah. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He shall know form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You know, and it leads all the way up into, you know, Jeremiah 31, where it talks about, Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. So there's these prophecies, and I was reading this week, there's like over 400 prophecies just in the Torah, probably more, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing speaks of Jesus coming, right? So we're coming into this time when, you know, December and Christmas, and it's exciting, and Jesus being born and our Savior's coming. You know, and that's what I usually meditate on every year, and that's what I am meditating on. But this scripture that spoke to me this week, not that one, but I want to just set a foundation here of the Messiah, and then how does that Messiah look with the Messiah in Revelations that I was reading about this week, okay, that shook me and pierced me and sobered me up and made me, and you'll see the theme in the Revelations that we're going to read today. And again, we're not getting into, you know, deep into Revelations, you know, stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there that I just don't get yet, okay? But I just want to share the message that I was really getting this week about being watchful and, you know, the time that we're in. But it's a sobering message. But I tell you what, to hear and to think about Revelations and to think about Jesus coming back, there's hope. You know, it gives me, to a certain extent, there's times, and like I said, you know, after Black Friday and just working at Walmart and just life in general wears you down, you know, you're just like, Jesus, come back, you know. I was reading, Charles Spurgeon has a thing where he talks about heaven and hell. He has this message, and in there he talks about laborers and people that just work, and, you know, he said, those people generally, when they think of heaven, they think of rest. They think of what it's going to be like, you know, and that's me, okay? I'm like, I just rest, you know? But I know everybody can relate to that, you know? We, you know, unless you're just, I don't know, maybe not everybody can, but there was also a fear when I was reading this week. I hope a healthy fear. You know, I know Jesus is my Savior. I know he loves me. But there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible about how he's coming back, and Revelations, and all throughout the New Testament, you know, Jesus, there's, you know, the amount of numbers that Jesus spoke of, you know, the gnashing of teeth and all these kind of things, you know, those kind of things may wake you up. You know, there's a reality to that, you know, that you can't overlook. I mean, I have friends, quite a few actually, that, you know, if I were to talk to them, I know something, they just don't even believe in hell. You know, they don't even believe in that. And that's kind of that's out there, you know, Christians. I can't get past the scriptures that talk about it. So, you know, Matthew 25:31, let's see. This is verse 31. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say to them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry or athirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I told you guys before I put this mic on, you know, this message, not sure how to share this message that was really in me this week, but I'm just sharing it, and that's why it's going to be a lot of scriptures today. I probably have a story or two that may come up, but I'm just, Lord, let the right word come out. Maybe it's something that you guys get some little nugget out of it, but I was really impressed. I think the word that really comes up more than anything is watchful. Okay? Because again, as believers, you know, we're saved. So this, you know, Jesus is coming back to judge the wicked, the unrighteous, right? But we know, you know, definitely listening to Pastor Jim, you know, there is a discipleship. There's a sanctifying piece of life in Christianity that we're all experiencing, and it's not easy. There's a burning, there's a cutting, there's a slicing, there's a... You know, I was driving last Sunday to church, and the Lord, that picture of Him being a potter and us being a clay spoke to me. You know, and I pictured, you know, Him forming us and molding us and pinching us and using the knife and cutting us. And then in the fire, you know, to get burned, you know, and then you come out a beautiful vessel. But that picture, you know, or chair five is Pastor Jim. You guys probably heard the chair message, you know, but it's that chair five message that, you know, I think is our deepest prayer really is, Lord, make me who You've created me to be. You know, and don't, I'll wiggle off that altar, you know, I'll get off, you know, but the clay's dead, you know, and there's some, the stuff we're going to read in Revelations today, there was some stuff that I'm still kind of chewing on that I don't quite understand, but I get the big picture of it, you know, I understand, you know, as we read it, you know, I'll kind of elaborate a little bit on it, but, you know, we didn't talk about the scriptures in the New Testament where Jesus talking about unquenchable flames, outer darkness, and gnashing of teeth, all that kind of stuff. But that stuff's in the back of my mind, guys. When I first became a believer and knew the love of Jesus and knew how awesome He was and how great He is, I read this. I didn't have any sort of bend. You know, a lot of people come to Christianity with some sort of angle or bend or I didn't have any of that. I was just an open book. You know, and if He said, greater works than these you will do, I believed greater works than these that He was doing, we will do. I just believed it. If He said, talks about tongues, I believe in tongues. I didn't have any sort of like, I just said, let God be true and every man a liar, including myself. If you come as an open book, just God, it's, you know, the pride in me wants to resist that. The pride in me wants to think something different, you know. And my wife and I and Eli, a couple of my kids, we were having dinner last night, and we were just talking about, we were reading a book by Tucker Carlson. I don't know if you guys know who Tucker Carlson is. Fox guys. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's funny. But he has a new book out, and we were kind of going through some of this stuff in there. Eli was reading it, and he's my 14-year-old. He does speech and debate, so he always loves to find new things, you know, to debate people on in his club. But, you know, it was just talking about, we got into politics and talking about, well, how do people not see this? How do you not see this? And, you know, without getting too deep into that conversation, you know, the Bible talks about we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against powers and principalities and darkness of this air. You know, there is a real deception.
Yeah.
There's a real deception where people just can't even see it.
Yeah.
You know, I have friends that are just, you know, you would think logically could figure this out, you know. Just certain things politically, and you're like, how do you not see this? You know, how can you say this? How can you say this? And I'm not going to get into it here. If we didn't have the mic on, maybe we could have some fun. But the main message is just to understand there isn't an enemy out there that tricks us, that deceives us, that, you know, to just understand and be aware of. It says even the elect will be deceived. Even the elect will be deceived. God, open our eyes. Take off the blinders, you know. Forget Democrat versus Republican. You know, just us, you know, within us. Lord, open our eyes. So it always scares me when people come in late because I'm like, man, I'm almost done. I'm not like Jim that just has hours of stuff to share. But yeah, exactly. If anybody has anything to share as I'm sharing, feel free. This group is so small. I love it. I love coming here. It's good. I hope you guys don't despise us. I know y'all don't. Fort Worth's the same way. You know, small group of people. I remember back in the day, you know, standing room only, you know, and it was just packed. And it's smaller groups now, and it's fine. You know, Jesus had 12. It's plenty, you know. This is awesome. If it was just me and Alex, Dave, you guys, it doesn't matter. You know, I love coming here and sharing, and I consider it a privilege, actually. It puts fear in me, and I don't know if you guys are this way too, but sharing in this group is different than sharing. I can talk for hours, but I know that you guys come hungry. I know that you guys come prepared. I know you guys are reading the same scriptures I'm reading, and that y'all are looking for God's heart, and you come expecting. So, you know, I'm a believer of that, you know, if you come expected, you will receive. You will get something. I don't care. God will speak out of a mouth of an ass. You know, he'll talk out of, you know. So I pray that you guys take any good and the stuff that's Jeff and not right, just leave it and forgive me. There's plenty of that. So, let's see. Matthew 13. Again, you don't have to jump around on these scriptures, but I just, again, wanted to read some of these. I felt like they were kind of important to get into the revelations that I wanted to really talk about. 13:32, which, by the way, I parked in the hour parking spot out here, so we only got about 30 more minutes, okay? So I don't know if they tow or they give tickets or anything, but all right. So I figured, well, we better make this quick today. So, all right, I wrote down Matthew 13:32. Let's see. It says, okay, which indeed is the least of all? See, let's see. Da, da, da. Okay. Another parable spake he unto them. Let's see. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Okay, let's see. I'm not sure why I wrote this scripture down. Let's see. I don't know. I wrote under it, watch. There's somewhere in there, I don't want to read through the whole thing, but somewhere in there, it's leading up to what we're really about to talk about in Revelations. But write down Matthew 13, 32 through 37. I don't know. I was getting something out of there. But if you want to flip to Revelations 2, that's where we're at. What's up, Margaret? We're almost over here, so. All right, so Revelations 2. Okay, we'll start off. It says, and we are going to read through this because I want y'all to look at, there's a few themes in these couple of chapters that we're going to read through. I'm just going to read through. Hopefully I won't stop and start talking. But it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. This is Revelations chapter 2. And it's we're looking at the seven churches, okay? And I know we could talk for a year on just one, Ephesus or Laodicea, you know, or whatever church it is. We're literally just going to read through this, okay? Because I want to give the big picture theme, the message that I was really hearing when I was reading through this week. It says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And you'll see as we kind of read on, I think it's in these chapters, but the golden candlesticks are the seven churches. Okay, the stars are the angels. And it says, he says, I know your works and your labor and your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and has patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and have not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Okay, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So three things that you're going to see as we're reading through these chapters today. It's just two chapters, but the seven churches, we're going to go through them quickly. Okay, but three things you'll see, common theme. Repent. Okay. Overcoming. And the third one is repent, overcome. I think that's the two things. But then at the end it says, he that has an ear to hear at the end of each church. So repent and overcome, but then he that has an ear to hear. So Lord, you know, we were praying earlier, open our eyes, open our ears to hear what you're telling us. You know, what's the word of the Lord? So you'll see that theme kind of going throughout here. And it changes. There's a different message to each church, but the overriding, the general thing, repent, which is just turn around. Renew your mind. Renew your thinking. Right? Just repent. Think differently. Overcoming, which we're going to talk about, you know, and I'll get into a little bit. You know, the thing that, something that's always stuck with me, you know, in regards to our Christian walk, we're saved. But, you know, when the Israelites left Egypt, right, they could have gone, it was from here to there to get to where they were, where God was going to take them. But we go the long way. And it says in Exodus, I think it's, we can read it, Exodus 13. I'll just flip over there real quick. Let's see. I think it's 13. Let's see. Okay. Okay, it says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. But he didn't lead them that way. He didn't lead them the easy, quick way. We're not going right there. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent or change their mind when they see war and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Okay? So that message of going through the wilderness and going through trials and going through things, you know, Dave and I've always kind of laughed because we've all had these things, you know, we've had these things we can't overcome, we have these issues, we have this thing that we're, boy, if we just had this, you know, we'd be this is what I'm wanting. This is what I'm needing, you know. I don't know if y'all know who Rich Mullins is, but he's a singer, died back in 97, wrote a bunch of awesome songs, but I used to love his stuff. But he has a song where he says, you know, everybody says they need just one thing. Really what they mean is they need just one thing more. You know, and it's true. We get that one thing, then we want this something else. You know, there's just, you got it all. We got it all. You know, I was, one of my family members was talking about, he's a pilot. And, you know, he retired from the Air Force, and now he's got this other job. And I love him, and he's a believer, and he's seeking God. And I've been in this place where he's at, where you're just wanting something different. You want to do something different. And I just, years ago, made this decision that wherever I'm at, I'm going to bloom. I'm going to flourish. I'm going to just stop, stand still, and just see God in this situation. So, and in the midst of that, I ended up at Walmart, been there, stuck there for 9 years. But I will say this, I love what I do. It's a miracle, because it's probably the worst place you could work in America, probably. I think statistically, like, number one most stressful jobs is the job that I actually have. and I, yeah, exactly. That's true. A public school teacher in this age could now be number one. You're exactly right. I would agree with you. Okay, I think I'm number two now, okay? But either way, man, to stay in that spot and just say, Lord, I trust you in this, and to see God and to be used and to see his hand every day. I know you've had days where you're driving and you're like, I don't even want to be here today, you know, or I got some sort of trial or something that's wrong, some sort of injustice, you know, some sort of just something that's tearing at you. But to just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you're awesome in this place. I thank you that right where I'm at, you're there. You know, that your presence, in your presence, there is fullness of
joy.
We don't need, and I don't need to go get some whatever job that I thought I wanted. No, just his presence. That's all I need. Amen. If you got his presence, you're good. So you'll see, like I said, hey, Lynn, we're reading through Revelations. We're almost done. But Revelations 2. And guys, just for those that are coming in late, I did start with the Messiah and Christmas and Jesus in the manger and how awesome he is, okay? All right? So I got to preface that. Yeah. I literally, guys, I just speak things that the Lord's sharing with me, just kind of my testimony from the week. That's what I share out of. I don't have some great teaching, new teaching of any sort, anything like that. And this is what was speaking to me this week. So it was sobering. It was very sobering for me personally. But, you know, we know we have enough teaching. Everybody in this room that knows, if you get a hard word, there's it's a blessing. It's good. I needed it. You know, it's actually, I did need this. And like I said, on the tail end of a Black Friday week that I'm engaged and involved in setting up with, you know, I needed this sobering, you know, message. So, anyways, we just talked about the message to Ephesus. We're on to Smyrna. So, chapter 2, verse 8 says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know your works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not hurt of the second death." You know, I started talking about, we read through, you know, a little bit, that little chunk in Exodus, but why did God take them the long way? Why did they go the long way through Exodus? Why didn't they just jump right there? He told them. He said, you could have gone that way, but I took you this other way, because if you didn't, when you saw war, you'd just turn right back. Huh? You know, you're right there, back in Egypt, because it's easy. The other way is suffering, you know, which we don't like to talk about that. You know, it's not comfortable. You know, we don't want that, you know. But I'll, you know, Dave and I were talking coming over here. Just, I don't know if anybody listens to these online, but Dave Cooper had a message, I think it was last week or the week before, that was really powerful. And I knew what he was going through that week was really, really difficult. Really, really tough week, okay? Like, probably the hardest week he's had in his life, okay? The message was powerful. Like, it was like God, totally. And I knew where it was coming from. And, you know, there is something that comes from suffering. So I hate to share that, but it's the truth. I'm not saying, I believe in, guys, trust me, I'm always praying for God's favor and everything great to be, you know, trust me, okay? But I will say just all that I'm so thankful that God takes everything. He works everything together for our good. And we can always trust and know that He is doing something awesome. He can take anything. And that's what's fun about even repenting. You know we screw up all the time, yep. Right? So we always, wherever you're at, stop, turn, seek Him. You know, that's what we're doing right now. We're going to read here coming up. I don't remember exactly how they said it, but there's a space that God has given us and a grace that He's given us to seek Him. You know, and that's the message that I was getting this week was, we're in that time. He's so merciful. He's so graceful. Okay, Jim said something last week, and I wrote it down, and I think it was the beginning of where this message was coming from that I was reading in Revelations. But it was talking about the grace ending, and I don't want to say it like this, but I mean, Jesus is coming back, you know, different than the way He came back, you know, came in the manger, you know, as a Messiah and as, you know, a Savior. He's coming back in a different way that we're going to read about here in a minute. Okay. All right. Let's go to Pergamos here, the church of Pergamos. It says, "Unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, and you hold fast my name, and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." Second time he's talking about that doctrine. So then he goes on, 16, "Repent, or else will I come unto thee quickly." He's talking to the church. He says, hey, these things I recognize. You guys followed me. You know, he says that in the first, but then he's saying, "Repent, or else will I come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and then a stone, a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it." And there's, guys, like I said, we could literally talk for months about just one of these churches, you know, from what's in a name, you know, to, you know, just anything in here. We can stop on one or two words, and there's just depth to this. But we're reading through it today, you know, just a general overview with the few things we're looking at. We're seeing the consistency of God speaking to His church and to His people, saying, repent, number one, you know, and second thing is overcome. You know, he's telling us, overcome. He wants us to overcome. And guess who's in us to overcome?
Jesus.
So it's not us that does it. We get that, you know. So this sobering message, you know, if you look at it with the wrong set of eyes, looks one way. But we have to look at it through the eyes of the Messiah, the Savior that we talked about at the beginning. You know, thank you, Jesus. Okay. Because every day we need His mercy and His grace, and He is in us to willing to do of His good pleasure. And He that began the good work in us, He's going to finish it, right? So thank God we have awesome pastors that teach us. Because honestly, guys, Jim has shared this message for years, is we're saved, but there's a sanctification that happens that's not. And I have friends that are just stuck right here. You know, they're just, oh man, and they're excited. You know, but there's a lot of mess, And there's a lot that, you know, I don't want to be surprised, you know, when Jesus comes. You know, just deal with me now, Lord. You know. Okay, so going on to the next church. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and your patience and your works, and the last to be more than the first. So, man, I know all your great works and your love and your service and your faith. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. Because thou sufferest that woman, that just means allow, you allowed that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Okay? It reminds me of Pharaoh, you know, let my people go, and they go, up, come back. You know, 10 times he kept giving him this opportunity. You know, and it says that Pharaoh's heart was hard. You know, there's this debate, you know, did God harden his heart, or did Pharaoh, you know, no. God gives us this opportunity. Lord, grant us repentance. You know, there's a prayer. That is a good prayer. Lord, give us a spirit of repentance that we can see and that we can hear. Because he's telling us, he's saying it 7 times. He's saying, you know, he has certain words for the church and these different churches. But the thing that I see every time, except in 2 churches, repent, overcome. Okay? So he's encouraging us. You know, he wants to encourage us. So he said, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Okay? Adultery's bad, right? It's bad. It's not good. Remember the lady that was brought to Jesus? You know, the Pharisees, man, we caught this. We got this lady. We got her. She was caught in adultery. Here she is. Boom. Right? And what did Jesus say? I forgive you, right? And then what did he say? Go and sin no more. Don't do it anymore. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put on you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Here it is again. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Okay? And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you live and are dead. Be watchful. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon thee. You know, I think about the 10 virgins. You know, the 5 had oil, 5 were watching, 5 weren't, 5 didn't have oil. You know, and we could have, I think I say this every time I share, testify, preach, I think I say this every time, but the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, and we were talking before everybody got here this morning, you know, just the presence that like Dallas Theological Seminary has in this town and in Texas, and is awesome and powerful and great. You know, if there's anything missing, you know, in that theology, you know, and I wouldn't even say it's missing, but some people get it, some people don't. And it's the same thing in any everywhere where there's believers. You know, Acts, where is that Acts where the two girls, they're walking and they where is that? That's Acts 19. Let's read it real quick. Sorry, guys. I got a lot of stuff. I hope everything comes out. And sometimes I just start going all over the map. So I write notes to try to stay on track. But sometimes there's just things that are come up that I just feel like we got to say. So in Acts 19, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples," so these are Christians, they're disciples, "he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism, salvation. We're saved. They're saved. Then said Paul, John truly, verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So, I share that because, to me, I'm shocked by anybody that would read the Bible and not, you know, want whatever, if the Holy Spirit is something you ask for, you know, if it's something that, you know, whatever all the doctrine of how you receive the Holy Spirit, because some people say you get it when you get saved. You can, you know, these guys got it after they got saved. You know, I got it after I got saved. You know, I had a brother pray for me, Chick-fil-A parking lot. Remember I was talking about those latitude, longitudes? I remember exactly where I was when this brother was sharing with me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues and, you know, the purposes, and just spent hours there and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that day, you know, in that spot. So I share that because when I hear overcome, you know, I'm the weakest of the week. So as far as overcoming, you know, I need, you know, I cheated on everything growing up. Okay, I was the worst student. Margaret, I think you've heard me say this before, probably last time I was here, but I was not a good student. Didn't grow up a Christian. So the easy way, if there was, you know, you go home and you do homework, or you go home and you goof around and play, goof around and play. That's what I did. Okay, so I always took the easy way, you know, until I was confronted with real life, you know, and that's when it was like, wow, okay, this is hard. It's not easy, you know. But the Holy Spirit, He's our comforter, He's our counselor, He's our advocate, He's our teacher. He convicts us of sin, He encourages us, He is God in us. Right? So I don't need to talk to this group about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the importance of it, but when it comes to overcoming, and we're reading these scriptures and this overall theme of what, you know, this sobering message in Revelation about Jesus coming back, it's like, He is back. He's here now. He's with us. So He is coming back. But for us in this room, you know, the encouraging thing is, no, He's here right now, today. So,
praise the Lord.
Amen. So, and I don't know exactly where I was here, but I think we're in Sardis. And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things say that has... Well, we read that, didn't we? Let's go. We'll go to Philadelphia. The last part of Sardis, it says the same thing. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And then Philadelphia says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write. By the way, literally, I think Pastor Jim has taken, I'm not kidding, probably months for one church. Okay, actually, he's been preaching about Laodicea for probably years, right? Because everybody can relate to that. You know, it's us. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. That's who's saying this. That's who's saying this. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you, because you have kept the word of my patience. I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take your crown. He that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name.
Glory to God.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So, you know, last week, this region that I'm in at Walmart, it's the biggest focus for Walmart. So there's always home office people. Greg Foran, who's the CEO of Walmart, was in one of my market stores this week. And so I get a text, hey, Jeff, need you at this store. You know, so I go there and there's a whole thing that we do and kind of get everything prepped. But one thing stuck out to me this visit, okay? So he came on, he was going to this one store for Black Friday, okay? And the store manager that was at this store, I know him. And he had a real plan. He was like, okay, Jeff, if your team can do this, you know, we had kind of lined out what everybody was doing, okay? He had a real high sense of urgency, you know, I won't say fear, but there's a level of that when you have somebody like this that comes in. There's security, there's all kind of stuff that goes on that you have to do logistics wise. But I knew the store manager before him, and this store is called a focus store. I used to be at one of these, and they're real intense. You get a lot of home office visits from the CEO, COO, those kind of people, president of the company. And the lady before him, I went and helped before. And when I went, the store was in shambles. I was like, what are you doing? You know, I pulled her aside. I was like, okay, we got a lot to do because this guy's coming tomorrow. Actually, the regional was coming the next day. So she's like, okay, what are we doing? So we kind of got a whole plan, okay? But the thing was, she had no sense of urgency, and it has stuck with me. This story has stuck with me, and I saw it kind of play out even this week because I was at this same store this past, you know, 2 weeks ago with a new store manager, high sense of urgency, real squared away, this and that. But I thought of that story when I was reading through this week because, you know, she was so unprepared. The one, you know, I went to the store about a year ago and just unprepared and no sense of urgency. And, you know, I thought of that story when I'm reading through this, and again, thought of the virgins, you know, ones with oil and the ones that weren't prepared with oil. And, you know, there's just a preparedness. And that's the message that I really got. And if there's something I could share today, it's just, he's coming back soon. Real soon. I don't know. You know, I know these guys study, you know, Irvin Baxter and these guys. I don't know if he's still around, but I used to listen to his stuff as far as exactly where we're at. You know, he'd study what's going on in Israel, you know, all the stuff that has to happen. You know, I'll say this just from a real, just superficial high view look at where we're at in time. There is a lot of reasons why Jesus could not have come back even 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, the amount of stuff that's happened from, you know, and you just feel it, okay? You know, and I know there's verses that say, in these last days, every generation has thought that. You know, I get that. Man, I just feel it. And that's this week, this message, very sobering message, just the reality that Jesus is coming back really, really soon, okay? Get ready. This time, this minute right now is valuable. It's like we're in prep mode right now. Okay? So, you know, again, I heard this message and was encouraged and it was sobering. If it comes out the right way, no, I'm convinced it's not going to come out the right way. So take it and, you know, read these. That's why I'm reading a lot of scriptures today, because I really want to stick to the word, because that's what was really speaking to me. And I know this, you don't hear this message a lot. You know, you hear a lot about grace and a lot about, you know, you hear a lot of that. I love it, you know, and it's true and it's right, you know, but Jesus looks different. It's the same. It's like mom and dad, you know, mom and dad are, you know, my kids, if they want something, they're going to go to mom, okay? Generally, okay? It's, Depends on which kid it is, but they know that they're not going to get over on mom or dad. So if they come to me and say, you know, well, what did mom say? Well, she said no. Well, no. You know, or I might go talk to my wife, but they're not going to separate us. You know, we're one. So, let's see, where are we? I don't know if we finished through Philadelphia, but again, at the end of Philadelphia, church at Philadelphia says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Then the last message is to Laodicea. Says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of your mouth. Because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and know not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel you. See, this is Walmart talk, what he's about to go into here. Dallas talk. He's going to talk in our language. I counsel you, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Buy my gold. Okay, buy my gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Okay, you could study white raiment. I looked up, I told you guys at the beginning, I get on these tangents sometimes, and I'll go for days. Okay, I went on a slight tangent with white raiment. There's a lot about that in the Bible. There's a lot of commentary that I didn't even want to share here because I'm still chewing on it and meditating on it. And it's different than, it's not different and new, but it's not the Jesus in the manger. So it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Man, God is awesome. Jesus is awesome. He's so good. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. I guess the thing is, and I know this group gets it, there is an overcoming that's already fully 100% overcome in us. Yeah. That happened at the cross and happened that we were born again and saved. Man, I love it. You know, and that's what we meditate on. That's where we stay. And who are we in Christ? You know, we're a new creation. We have it all. You know, so, you know, there is, let us meditate on who we are in Christ. We have all things new. Right? So there's not, we're not getting more. And that's not what the message is. That's why it's confusing a little bit, or could be, or scary. You know, there's not anything more, but there is, and we're still renewing our mind. You know, Romans talks about renewing your mind. We're still renewing our mind to the things that we are. You know, we're born from above, 100% spirit, but in our soul, our mind, our will and emotions, we're still growing. We're still changing. Yep. We still have sin, you know. We still are going through the ringer. You know, it's like boot camp. You know, you go through some stuff. You know, we're still, but I tell you what, y'all may have heard me share this before. I know Dan and definitely Dave. Dave Cooper was, we both went to A&M together and we're in the core together, and Dan's son was in the core with us. But there is a point where every single grown man in my outfit, our freshman year, was crying like little babies, sucking your thumb in the corner like a little baby because you have no sleep, you have no food, you're yelled at, you're just, your life, your head's shaved, everything's horrible. Everything's horrible, you know, and I laugh now, and it takes about 2 months, okay, about 2 months before you're like, you know what, guys, because we have this thing called the fallout hole, and it's one guy's room. My room was the fallout hole, so everybody would come to my room, and we're like, all right, guys, all the upperclassmen are out in the hallway, right, and you can't walk in the hallway. You have no privileges, right, so it's like, all right, guys, when we go out, guys, remember yesterday, they yelled at us for like an hour. We had to do push-ups for like ever. Stay on the right side. Don't walk in the middle. Remember, they said if you walk in the middle, they're going to get on you, right? So we're like, okay, we get all our plans, right? We're like, all right, let's go. And we run out and we're on the right side of the hallway, right? And then they're like, whoa. Fish Jones, you have red shorts on. Your buddy has blue shorts. And we're like, oh, man. So the next day, it's like, dude, remember yesterday they yelled at us? You had red, he had blue. Everybody put red. Okay, so then everybody had red. Then we go out. Okay, and then we get out there like, your buddy has a gray shirt. Yours is light gray. His is dark gray. What happened? You know, and that's how it is. There is nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do to win that battle. The whole point of it is to break you down to where you are one unit. And it gets to the point, it takes about 2 months, and you start having fun. You start laughing. You're like, oh, we're getting smoked anyways today. They say don't run out that indoor. We're going out the indoor, boys, right? So you start having fun with it, you know, because you're going to get smoked anyways. So you start figuring out. And there's a fine line between where where you've gone too far and running out the door is one thing, but doing other stuff, that's not good. So, I think about those times of suffering and that trial. That was a trial in my life at that time. That was not easy. That was very difficult. But man, the trials of this present time aren't worth comparing to the glory that's going to come. You know what I mean? That was a really hard time, but the times that we talk about and laugh about are those times, not the glory days, not the, you know, the days that were easy. Yeah, those days that was fun, but the days when you're laughing at how stupid you were and all the mistakes you made and, you know, just all the dumb stuff you did. But you learn to overcome, and I guess I was thinking of that this week, because you're literally every single day learning how to overcome in this environment, you know, in the core, you're literally learning how it works. You're learning, okay, how to polish your brass, how to polish your shoes. And it takes hours and hours and you're not getting any sleep. It's like, you know, and everybody else is going to school. You know, you're at a hard school. You know, you're over here like polishing shoes and brass and no sleep and running and, you know, getting yelled at. And you're like, how's the grades? Not good, you know. So you got to learn how to manage it all. So there is a lot to talk about overcoming. But I think overcoming I equate with the sanctifying chair 5 that Pastor Jim talks about. That is good. That's real good. You know, the things that scare me and that sober me is just to see how many people made it through the wilderness, for one thing. Two. <Yeah. laughs> There was a guy named Ernest Shackleton. Anybody ever heard of Ernest Shackleton's advertisement? Anybody know about that? Working where I work, I get people all the time, you know, come up to me, sir, I want to promote. I'm ready to get a promotion, you know. And they're, you know, I think I've shared this maybe with some of you guys, but this one guy stands out about a year ago, came up to me and he's, you know, sir, I'm ready to promote, right? And he's got like green jeans on. I'm like, dude, you're not even in dress code, man. Come back. Said, you got to be faithful in the small things. Some of the smallest things is show up for work, be in dress code, have a good attitude. I always say these three things. You're not even in dress code. You know, how can you go to the next level if you can't be faithful in the small things, and God will give you big things, right? But I get these people. I've got a couple that were in my office this week, and they're wanting to promote to be assistant managers. And I always have a really stern conversation with them. Like, I tell them, you're not ready. Because nobody is ever ready for that. It's a really horrible position, actually. I've done that too. It's not fun. But I bring up all the stuff that they're not doing, and it's easy because it's God will. And one guy was a Christian, so we had it was a longer fellowship. It was a good time of, you know, I told him, I said, his name's Kazra. Kazra, you're not ready, man. And I started listing all this stuff, and by the time he leaves my office, you know, he's about this big, you know. He sees he's not ready. But I also encourage him. I said, Kazra, you're never going to be 100% ready, and I'm going to work with you. You know, so I'm going to work with him over the next 6 months or so to kind of get him there. But I always tell him, because the people that I've promoted more people out of my store, and I have the store I'm at right now is smaller. And they're good. They're really good. But I spend a lot of time with them, you know, not just on like, I don't really care about the things that a lot of Walmart people care about when they're promoting people. I care about loyalty, character, and commitment. You know, and I was thinking about that this week as I was reading this. You know, I don't want to get too much off onto that, but you can see, I can just tell, I've done this for a long time, so I can tell people that'll be good managers and ones that won't. But those three things stick out to me: loyalty, character, and commitment. And there's a lot that goes kind of with that, but character, you know, integrity, stuff like that. You know, I feel like to a certain extent we're, you know, I'm constantly looking at these guys that want to promote. The guy that I was talking about that had an advertisement, his name's Ernest Shackleton. I wrote it down here. It's funny because I share it with these people, because if I ever were ever to put an ad, you know, for like a Walmart worker, it'd be, okay, this was his ad in the paper. This was years ago. I don't know, a couple hundred years ago. He was looking for guys to come on his, to be journeyman with him on his ship, I guess. It says, for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger. But I think of a Christian. I think of a disciple. You know, I think of, you know, our journey sometimes, right? For hazardous journey, small wages, Margaret, for, you know, a public school teacher, for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. But it's funny, I've shared that with so many people just because it's, you know, I look at it like, you know, this should be the, you know, the thing we saw, you know, this, I wish this was at the beginning. So it says, well, the guy's name's Ernest Shackleton. You can actually look it up. But it says, men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in case of success. So thank you, Jesus. He has said he's in, he's promised. Jesus promised. He said, I'm in you to willing to do of my good pleasure. He's in, you know, he who began a good work in us is truly going to finish it. So thank you, Jesus. So we'll end on this last scripture here. I told you guys I parked in the hour parking, so you're guaranteed for... Yeah, that's what I hear. That's good. Okay, Revelations 19:11 through 21, and we'll finish up on this. And it said, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, capital F and capital T, says in my Bible. I know whoever wrote this understood. You know, there's truths. There's all kind of truths, you know, and I probably shared truths today, little t truths. Jesus is the way, the truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. So, Jesus, we need your presence every day. Every day. So, it says, he who that was on this white horse, his name's Faithful. He was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. I told you guys, I stopped at one of our points in Revelations, because this is the third or fourth time in just what we've read today. There's something in a name. You guys could study that. You know, there is something in your name. You know, Abram to Abraham. You know, Jacob to Israel. You know, there's a lot in that. There's a lot in that. There's a lot of depth there. So it says, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood. Remember what we had? We had white raiment. What's his dipped in? Blood. We're all the white. We have the white. He's got the... His is not. His is dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God, which we're reading. Revelations 19:13. And then 14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Wow.
And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you can keep reading, but I want to stop there today, because we started with Jesus the Messiah, Jesus coming. And this time of the year, it's awesome. We're singing Christmas songs. We're talking about salvation. We're seeing Jesus the Messiah, our Savior, came for us. We'll never not be excited about that wedding day. You know, that salvation, that fellowship we get with Jesus as our Savior, and need Him every day. Every day, you know. Every minute of every day. So, but He's coming back, and He has on His vesture and on His thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, like I said, guys, I read this week, and it just, what's in me right now, this is what's speaking to me, and so I'm just sharing. I don't have any real deep teaching about, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff in Daniel and the prophecies and stuff, and there's a lot going on that we could speak about. Revelations, we could talk for a long time about it. But I was encouraged to watch, be sober, and realize Jesus is coming back soon, real soon. So the things that we struggle with, the things we want, the things we, you know, that's even good. I'm not even talking about things we want that aren't good. I'm talking about things that He promises and things we just haven't seen come to fruition. It's good. It's good. That's, we pray for that. We want to see His, you know, His goodness in the land of the living. So I pray and hope you guys got some sort of nugget today, that everybody got something out of the Word. We read a lot of Scripture, so I know you guys probably got something. You got enough to chew on for sure. But let's pray. Does anybody have any testimonies real quick, or anything they want to share? Well, and the other piece of this is we don't overcome daily, so we're daily needing the blood of Jesus daily. So if there's a law piece of this, if there's something that we read this and say, I can't overcome, I don't overcome daily. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. We constantly are going, we're there. I didn't share a lot with this group in this room because we have that understanding. You know, I don't think we could share this message with a lot of people, you know, but we can hear this and go, yeah, that's a joke to be an overcomer. I'm, you know, that's good.
I was just going to say,
I don't know if I went into it too much, guys, but you know, we talked about the, you know, when the Hebrews left Egypt and they're going through the wilderness and the giants in the land, you know, and I always hear, when I think of those stories, I think of, you know, the giants in our life, the things that we're battling, and, you know, they did overcome. You know, there were people that overcame, you know, and that was the old covenant. We have the Holy Spirit, and that's why I shared at one point, I don't know if maybe it was at the early part, maybe you guys weren't here yet, but man, I'm just passionate about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I know my weakness. I know I cannot overcome. I'm not an overcomer. Yeah. So, and we know that. That's why we're here. That's why we're Christians, because we're like, I need something beyond me. Yeah. Yep. That's powerful. That's good. We were sharing, I think, in the early part, that verse, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. In darkness of this air, there is a battle. You're right. So, that's good. So, I guess we do communion now?
Yeah.
Is that the routine here? That's good. Yeah. I picked up on that. Make sure how this works.
You're holding the communion challenge.
Yeah, I know. It's like to open this thing without spilling it everywhere.
It's easier than the other way.
Okay.
Wires good.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. If everybody's ready, we'll... The night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it. He gave it to the disciples and He said, "Take, eat, this is my body. It's given for you and for many." Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for paying the ultimate sacrifice for us, Lord. We thank you for your body that was broken for us, that we read about in Isaiah, and we thank you for coming and dying for us. And we take this bread today in Jesus' name. Then after the bread, he took the cup, said, "This is my blood, which was shed for you and for many." We thank you, Jesus. You say, "Come, whoever, everybody." We thank you. You died for the whole world. And the door is wide open. You said today, we read in Revelations, knock and the door will be open to you. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood, for shedding your blood for us and for many, for everybody. Your love. We thank you, Father. Let's take of the blood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this message. We thank you for your word. We read a lot of scripture today, and we thank you that your word is sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So we thank you, Lord, that this word, your scripture, goes into our hearts today, this week, and makes a difference. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for today. I pray blessings on everybody in this room, for this church. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.